Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. If it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and if you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, well, we invite your call right now to 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, toll-free, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Paul the Apostle had some just unbelievable experiences in life, and he had one such thorn in the flesh that caused him to pray time and time again for the Lord to remove it, and the Lord didn't, and instead gave Paul this answer. He said, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" So God gave the message about the grace of God, and I think that's certainly the net message that we need to talk about, that we need to listen to during this coronavirus scare. We need to realize that the grace of God is going to be sufficient for us, whatever that situation brings to us. Yes. As far as our lives are concerned. And that's important for us to understand, that it's the grace of God that's going to get us through. Many times we look at situations like this and we think of it in terms of God's judgment against the world, or God's judgment against us individually, or God's punishment against us. Well, if that was the case, then he wouldn't say that God's grace would get us through each and every circumstance that we go through. So we have to realize that just because life throws us a bunch of curveballs and disrupts our normal rhythms and gives us a new normal, God still likes us. He's still interested in us. And Andrew, talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I just received an email from someone named Catherine out of Georgia, and she sees her friends posting. She says, I see them posting things about how God has sent this virus to, quote, cleanse the land, or, quote, bring about peace. And she says, I don't believe that God works that way, but we do live in an imperfect world. So can you talk about that? And I think that's right where we're at on this broadcast, Bob, that we're seeing the fallen world with a flawed DNA and everything from birth defects to cancer to violence to war. And now we're looking at this virus, and it has impacts on people emotionally, physically, financially. And when you look at Paul's words, which you just read, I mean, he is saying that there's a secret of contentment even in stuff like this, that there is a peace, that there is a strength that we can draw upon. Yes, our financial situation can be taken away. Yes, our physical health can be taken away. But there's something that's irrevocable. There's something that is unshakable and unbreakable, and that is our bond with Jesus Christ and the fact that we have been freely gifted with a union, that we're united with him, and that he's our comforter and counselor. So, I would just say this. It's hard times, but we can know that we're equipped. It's hard times, but we're not alone in this. We have a comforter, we have a counselor, and that's what sets us apart from the world, Bob. Right now, the world is living in fear, and we can choose differently because we know the helper, we know the counselor, we know the comforter, and his presence with us is very, very real, especially in times like this.
Absolutely, and that is the truth that we need to cling to. Like you said, this virus, it's novel. There's a lot of uncertainty. The folks that we rely upon for answers, they don't have clear answers at this point in time. They're frantically trying to figure it out, how it's going to, pass through and that sort of thing. So they're contributing to a lot of the fears just because they don't have the answers. But we do have something that is certain, and that is Jesus Christ himself. That is the love that he has for you and me, and that his promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So in a situation like this, we have to continue to focus on what we know to be certain and sure. and let all of those uncertainties kind of take care of itself. That's where we exercise patience. That's where we apply some wisdom. That's where we anchor ourselves to the hope of the gospel. So as children of God, let's look to the things that we know are certain, and that is the grace of God in the person of Jesus Christ in each of our lives.
Absolutely. Well, friends, it is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us, and we have an open line for you right now. If you have roughly 5 minutes after 3 Central Time, it's the live broadcast, and you can speak directly with us right now at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. You know, friends, in this life there is one you absolutely, positively, unexceptionally, and without question need to know. Fortunately, he is very knowable, and his name is Jesus. In a 5-message series called The Jesus You Can Know, Bob Christopher lays out all of the attributes of our Lord, underscoring the truth that he is infinitely knowable and that he wants to know you. This is the most important relationship we'll have in our lives, and we want to send you a copy of The Jesus You Can Know as our thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel during the month of March. Just click donate at basicgospel.net and get fully to know the one who loved you and gave himself for you. He is the Jesus you can know. Well, once again, 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
I know many of our listeners are looking for words of comfort. They want some passages that they can read. And one of our listeners called in and suggested that we encourage people to read Psalm 91. And certainly that is a great, great psalm of comfort and hope that God is our helper in our present time of need. Certainly there are many other passages in the New Testament as well. Philippians chapter 4. I mean, we could just go on and on and on. I think we quoted 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. So there are great words of comfort, but even more so, you have the Comforter living inside of you, and his presence in you and with you through this is the most comforting reality that we can all experience. So we appreciate this caller taking the time to dial the phone and encourage our listeners to take a look at Psalm 91.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that, Bob. And Andrew, did you have something to follow up with?
Yes. Well, I just wanted to say, you know, going back to the question from Catherine out of Georgia, she was seeing her friend saying God is doing this. And then you read Psalm 91 and you see the opposite. Yeah. You see that he says, I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and satisfy you and show you my salvation. And so we just see the heart of the Father here. And I guess time and time again, guys, we look back on the decades and we've seen some teachers stand in pulpits or stand on their platforms and shout to the rooftops that, well, this is God bringing punishment on New York or God bringing punishment on Louisiana or, you know, with natural disasters and terrorism. And so many times we keep looking for what I call Christian karma, where God's really going to get us this time. He's going to purge and cleanse. And then we crack open the Word of God, and it says the polar opposite. It says God's desire is that none perish, yeah, but all believe. And so I really think that in the hard times like this, we Christians, we're the ones that need to be representing the Father accurately and saying, you know, his heart is toward us. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Yes, the wages of sin is death, but remember what Jesus did. He died. He took the wages. There are no wages left. God wants everyone to come to repentance. He's certainly not hurling disaster at us. And so we start looking at these events and we wonder what God is thinking. And I would say, don't look to the fallen world to find the love of God. Look to the cross. Look to the resurrection. Romans tells us that God demonstrated his love in this, that Christ died for us. So the early church was tortured, killed, dragged from their homes. They experienced all kinds of bad things, and that was no indication of the love of God. We find the love of God in Jesus. And so that's why on Basic Gospel, night in and night out, afternoon after afternoon, we keep proclaiming the excellencies of God's grace, because when the hard times hit like this, Bob, that's when we need to know it more than ever.
Yes, indeed. And I was thinking earlier today, Andrew, about that very thing, how our minds operate, how weird our thinking can get as human beings. And we know this truth, and yet, man, our minds can just start, you know, churning out crazy thought after crazy thought. And even in my own life, you know, there's a rush on toilet paper and the shelves are empty. And I find myself saying, I've got to go get some. Now, we have an ample supply at our house, but there's something weird going on in this mind of mine saying, I've got to go get some. Why? Because I think if I get some, then I'm, you know, I've accomplished something that God is showing me. It's just crazy thinking, isn't it? Yes. And we have to keep bringing every thought captive to Jesus Christ. When Paul said, don't be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed through the renewing of the mind, that was a serious commandment. That's something that we need to really understand and not take lightly. That we've got so much craziness up there in these minds of ours that only the Word of God, the truth of Jesus Christ, can purge and set us free up there. So I think it's so vitally important that, you know, we keep listening to truth in times like this so that our minds can be calmed down. That's exactly what Paul was talking about. We need a guard over our minds. And that guard is the truth of God's love and grace. That's going to guard our minds from churning out all of these crazy thoughts that we can churn out as human beings.
Absolutely. So, great thoughts, guys. Thank you for that. Well, friends, we have an open line for you. We have 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742 at about 12 minutes after 3 Central Time. It's the live broadcast if you're hearing it at this particular time. So give us a call. We want to speak directly with you again, 844-322-2742. And, guys, this call came in overnight. Let's listen.
Yes, I have a comment. I have heard you say we will all die someday, but the Bible says different. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Andrew, how could you say such a thing like that? Yeah. Well, I'm gonna take the big ball of blame on this one. I made that comment the other day that we're all gonna die, and normally I always attach to it unless we're here when the Lord comes back. And certainly that's what the passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, and we also read that in 1 Corinthians 15. And Paul, in both of those passages, gives encouragement to those of us who are living right now about those who have gone on ahead of us. So they're gonna be with the Lord. They're going to come back with the Lord. And if we're still alive when that happens, then we're going to be caught up with them. And we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. So, yes, we're all going to die unless the Lord comes back before we do.
Yeah.
So, yes, we all believe in the rescue of Jesus. We all believe in the return of Christ. And that's something we can, as the Bible even says, eagerly await and eagerly expect. And, you know, guys, I don't know that we can talk about this enough with all the tragedy that's going on, but that hope of knowing Jesus, the hope of Jesus rescuing us, whether it be through our physical death or his return, I mean, just knowing that we have a life that no one can take from us, that eternal life really is eternal, that it's not threatened by a physical virus or anything physical, that we have this life that, as Peter puts it, we're born of imperishable seed, that we never perish, that Jesus calls us children of the resurrection. And in that sense, at least spiritually, we never die. because we are children of the resurrection. So that spiritual life is never taken from us. And, you know, going back to the concerns that Christians have and unbelievers have right now, I would just say, again, that we have to take the biblical perspective and say, look at all the players. Look at all the players in the theater of life right now. We have the world, the flesh, the devil. We have the fallen world. We have the result of Adam's sin. And, you know, if we were to sit down for a play together and afterwards I say, Bob, what'd you think of that play? And you were to say, well, I love those one-act plays with one actor. I just love those monologues. And I say, Bob, you know, it wasn't a monologue. It wasn't a one-actor play. There were 15 different actors. Didn't you see them? Well, in the same way, if we're not careful in the theater of life, we end up thinking that God is doing everything, that he's the only actor, that we put a God stamp on everything that happens and say he's the cause and he's the reason. Well, we need to leave room for the other actors in the theater of life, the world, the flesh, the devil, fallen DNA, a fallen world. And when we do allow room for that, guys, then the Father's face is no longer disfigured in our minds. We can see his love. We can see that we're on his team. We can see that he's for us, that he's comforting us and counseling us. So it's just so important to recognize God is not the author of everything, but he is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's not the author of sin. He's not the author of death. He's not the author of coronavirus, but he is the author and perfecter of our faith, and that is the great comfort.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here at this ministry, we know that there are concerning issues you might be dealing with every day. It could be issues like, why am I afraid of God, or Christians and the coronavirus, which is a big topic right now. Of course, those are just a few of the growing list of issues that Bob Christopher addresses in the videos posted on our YouTube channel at basicgospel.net/YouTube. Now, we hope you'll take advantage of these resources that are free, and you can share them with your family and friends, things you might be struggling with. It's all there for you, and it's all free at basicgospel.net/YouTube. And be sure to share them, as I said, with your family and your friends.
Well, thanks, Bob. We do hope many people will take advantage of those resources. We're here to help you in your journey with Christ Jesus, and this YouTube channel is just one of the ways that we can come alongside of you and journey together in the grace of God. Andrew, we had this question that came in just a couple of days ago from David. And it's about Christian living, and he writes this: I want to know what it means to trust in the power of God to overcome sin and not rely on myself. I seem to be fighting a losing battle with sexual addiction, even though I know I'm saved. And I guess he was listening the other day, and he said the message was relevant to him. But what kind of answer can we give to David about that battle against sexual addiction in his life?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would say if you've built a five-lane highway of those sort of thoughts, it is going to be a struggle. If years and years and years have been spent entertaining such thoughts, then for you to get off on what feels like a little rabbit trail of truth compared with a five-lane highway, that's the challenge at the beginning, to choose truth no matter what you feel, even when the traffic is coming at you in all five lanes, for you to get off of that road and get onto the path of fixing your eyes on Jesus. You do that once, and then you do it 10 times, and then you do it 100 times. And slowly that little rabbit trail becomes a road, and then it becomes a highway, and then it becomes a superhighway eventually in your life. But there is a battle there to choose differently. And Bob, I would say that in my experience with any sinful thought, it has been super helpful for me to know what it means to be dead to sin. And what I mean by that is the Bible says we're dead to sin and alive to God, and it says count yourself dead to sin. And so you say, well, Paul, what is that? I mean, how does that, in practical terms, how does that work out? And so I just imagine a sinful thought coming down the hallway of my mind, and I have a decision to make. Is that thought coming from me? Is that thought my desire? Is that thought coming from my heart? And the answer to all those questions is no. I need to see this as an enemy thought. And now, that thought may come at me, and it may feel like me, it may sound like me. If I've done it 50 times, it's going to feel familiar. But instead of going by my feelings and saying, well, I'm just a lustful person, I might as well do it. I'm just a sinful, rotten person, I might as well do it. Instead of that mentality, Bob, I can say, wait, God took out my heart of stone. He gave me a new heart. He gave me an obedient heart. I've already done this 50 times, and I know where it gets me. What benefit is there? What outcome is there? And then I can say, I'm dead to this. I don't want this. And I can ignore it, and I can pick a new thought, and I may have to make some hard decisions, like get up and remove myself from the temptation. You know, I would just say this in closing, Bob, that when we're talking about a lust addiction to sexual temptation or whatever, there's probably five or six decisions that I'm going to make before I'm in that position. I have to go to my room and shut the door and get privacy, and then I have to turn on the computer, and then I have to go find a website, and then I have to log in, and then I have to click on things. I mean, there's five or six times where the Spirit of God is giving me that counsel, and if at any point, if I say, you know what, I see it, I'm dead to this, I don't want to do this, this is not from my heart, this is not going to get me anywhere, that is where the doctrine meets the road. And I think we need to just recognize our real heart's desire and our real identity and count ourselves dead to those thoughts. Is not easy, but that's the path forward.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for that, Andrew. We appreciate those thoughts. Shifting gears fairly significantly with this question from Sean, guys. He says, I need help answering this question. Let's say you're married and you're both Christians and one dies. Later on, you remarry someone who also is a Christian. Does that mean in heaven you'll have two wives?
Interesting question. And you know, I guess the scripture is pretty clear. There's no marriage in heaven. There's going to be a different type of relationship, isn't there, Andrew?
Yes, they were asking this question in Matthew 22, and their question was posed like this: at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven? In other words, if she had seven different husbands and they were all married to her, then whose wife will she be? And Jesus says, you're in error. He says, you don't know what you're talking about, because the scriptures say that they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. And so Matthew 22 gives us a great answer here, Bob, and ultimately, we can look to the angels and say, well, they're not worried about getting married. They're not worried about reproduction. They're not worried about romance. They're with the Lord forever, and that's enough. And so it will be with us, that we're going to find our satisfaction in the Lord. We're going to be the bride of Christ, and we're not going to be worried one bit about romantic relationships and marriage or anything of the sort. Jesus will be certainly enough.
Yes, indeed. And one of the things I like to remind couples of when I officiate a wedding is that as you stand together, you're soon to be joined as husband and wife, but first and foremost, you're brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's the relationship that's eternal, and that's what you're going to experience eternally. And that's just truth. That's just our reality in Christ Jesus. And boy, that's the best reality that we will ever experience.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Bob,
you guys,
take it away.
Yeah, you guys just have some wonderful input for our listeners, and I know they appreciate it as I do. And friends, thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel. If you have a question about anything you've heard, or in general for that matter, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you, and always welcome your call. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. And once again, we so appreciate the love and prayers and support of everyone who helps us keep the message of grace in Jesus Christ on the air and online. And with your gift this month, we want to send you the five-message series called The Jesus You Can Know, to help you understand that Jesus is a very knowable God who loves you and wants a warm, personal relationship with you. The Jesus You Can Know. Request your copy when you make your contribution at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, where there's a big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with special thanks to our friend Andrew Farley for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow with us, and we'll have another edition of Basic Gospel, and we want you to be a part of it. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.